Meeting to order. There are two public meetings being held this evening in accordance of the Planning Act. The first meeting is regarding the application by Monarch Corporation on behalf of Moss Corp. These fancy numbers here. Developments, Inc., for the amendment of the zoning bylaw and rezone property of 12551 Old Kennedy Road east of Kennedy Road, south of Dougal Avenue, Ward 2, from agricultural A1 to village core commercial, which will enable the lands to be integrated within the Mayfield West Commercial Center. The second meeting is regarding the application of Glenn Schnarr and Associates on behalf of Canif Properties Limited for an amendment to the zoning bylaw to rezone lands located at the northwest corner of Kennedy Road and Old Baseline, east of Highway 10, parts lots 1, 2, and 3, concession 1, Caledon, Ward 1, from agricultural A1 and environmental policy area 2, EPA A2, to open space with exceptions of agriculture with exceptions, and the environmental policy area 2, EPA A2, to permit the development of an 18-hole public golf course associated with tourism-related accommodations. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the applications being heard at the public meeting should be directed to the town's clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing to further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address on notification list located on the table at the entrance of the council chamber just outside the door. Following the presentation, members of the public are invited to approach the podium stating their name and address and provide their comments. We ask the members of the public clearly state their name and address as it's for public record and will be recorded. If you have a presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. And please note that any information submitted this evening will be the form part of the town's record. Following the public comments, and members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that the council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or a debate on the matter. Now I will ask Brandon Ward, the Senior Development Planner for the Town of Caledon, to confirm the notification was conducted in accordance of the Planning Act for the public meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can confirm that notice was conducted in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act for both applications. Notice was sent to surrounding property owners on May 28th, and notice was also posted in the Caledon Citizen and Caledon Enterprise newspapers on the 28th as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Having that, I will now call upon Peter Meliganovsky, Monarch Corporation, to begin his presentation. Peter?
Oh, it's welcome, John Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, members of council, my name is John Stevens of Stevens Consulting, and I'm here on behalf of Moss Corp and Peter Meliganovsky and everyone else. The application that is before us pertains to an area of property that is just over an acre. It is within the commercial area of the Mayfield West development area. Oops. The lands surround, this is in a sense a holdout property from from the history of the area. The surrounding area is CCV, which is a village commercial zone intended to reflect the village core area. This was a 1 acre property that wasn't part of the original development holdings at the time and has now been acquired. And the proposal is to integrate them into the CCV zone that applies to the surrounding area. This is a picture of the property. It's a very old house. It's been reviewed by the town's heritage planner and been the subject of some heritage reports. And they suffice to say that a demolition permit has now been issued. But I do understand the house, that many of the features within the house are to be retained for potential future use. Oops, sorry. This is a little more detail of the property. With the zoning of the subject lands, there is the old Kennedy Road road allowance, and that will also become part of the commercial zoning. We can ignore that. The subject lands is shown on this property, and what also shows on this overhead is the surrounding planned commercial development. So you can see this is a fairly critical piece. It relates to the adjacent commercial development, but it also relates very well to the amenity area and the pond area on the west side of Old Kennedy Road. And finally, just part of the processing of this application, we would also be integrating it into the draft plan of subdivision that is adjacent. It was not originally included in this plan of subdivision, but now that it has been acquired by Moss Corp 7, we will be incorporating it into the subdivision. And that is the property right there as part of this larger subdivision. The subdivision is already draft approved. And this will just be integrating that block into the draft approved subdivision, which will essentially just facilitate the future development of the property. That's the extent of my presentation, okay. Mr. Mayor. If there's any questions, please do answer.
Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. Are there any comments from the members of the public that are here tonight? If they are, please step forward to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. Do members of the council have any questions to the presenter? I just have one. John, if you don't mind, if you can help me out. Yes. If you go back to the original diagram where you have the red line around the aerial photograph, please.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
This one?
You see there's a sliver that runs along Dougal Avenue. Do you have to go committee adjustment to align that stuff, or can we get this all done in the same process?
No, that'll all be part of this process.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I know there was some property alignments, and I just wanted to make sure we got that caught, that it'd be
appreciate
foolish.
You noting.
Thank you. All right. If there's no other further comments, I will declare this. Thank you, Mr. Stevenson.
Thank you.
There are no further comments. I would declare this part of the public meeting to be concluded. And we will start our next meeting at 7:15. Can we start now? Okay. Oh, wow. Different clerk. Okay. Now we'll move forward to our next application to be heard this evening. I will now call upon Mr. Glenn Broll of Glenn Schnarr Associates to begin his presentation.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Again, for the record, Glenn Broll from Glenn Schnarr and Associates, representing Caniff Properties. I have a presentation that I will take you through that gives a little bit of the location of the property, some history, and why we're here this evening. So here are the subject lands. West side is here, Ontario. East side is Kennedy Road and north of Old Baseline. It has the property identified to show the outline of the current application. The west, you can see, is the village of Inglewood and Highway 10. There are, in addition, detached dwellings that front onto the east side of here, Ontario Street. To the north is the East Credit River and agricultural rural residential area. To the east is Kennedy Road, agricultural, rural residential. Of course, to the south, agricultural and rural residential. The overall proposal shows up as a 18-hole golf course. You can see that the clubhouse, the entrance and maintenance building all kind of goes together in the full design, and I can walk you through how we've laid it out. The main access is off of Old Baseline. You can see at the south where it says entrance. That's the main driveway into the property. As you're traveling in the driveway, to the east is the maintenance building, and to the west, your golf holes. In the center of the property, you'll see two large blue circles. Those are the irrigation ponds. So of interest in this area is when you're irrigating a golf course, you need to find water. The water supply is either taken from the surface or the groundwater supply, and much work has been carried out to determine that the groundwater supply is the most appropriate location to remove the water, put it into the ponds in this location, which would both be for aesthetic and functional purposes. To the west of the ponds is the red building, which is the clubhouse, and a maximum of 100 hotel units. To the west of that, the parking area, and that would be a combined parking area for the hotel and the golf itself. And as you move away from the clubhouse, there's a practice range and then into additional golf holes. So we had the opportunity to have some discussion with residents this evening, and I do want to say that it is 18 holes of golf. I know the original proposal way back when was for 27 holes. It's 18 holes that we're proposing. So the application background, there's much history, but I've walked through here Official Plan Amendment 234. You've seen three different colors that have presented themselves. This official plan amendment is now a document that's approved within the town's official plan. There are three designations. The darker green, basically in the center, is open space area. The lighter green are environmental policy areas, which are the protection areas for different woodlots, and the rural area. Within this document itself, golf course is a permitted use. And I should say within the open space and the rural area, golf courses are permitted. Within the environmental policy area, those will be the woodlots that are protected, and we've applied appropriate buffers from the woodlot. We have, and I'll go through a slide that shows you a number of the reports that we have filed, but much of the efforts over the last many years have been really to look at an environmental implementation report, which is a combination of looking at the Greenbelt Plan, the Oak Ridges Marine Plan, the Region of Peel official plan, your official plan, and really, probably more importantly to everything, what's on the land, what's on the property. We've walked the property, we've staked limits of development, we've looked at where water courses are, where they need to be protected, where they can be adapted into the golf course, and that report has been filed with the Conservation Authority, the town, the region, and it's been a result of many years of efforts to try and quantify what's on this property. This shows an excerpt of the zoning bylaw. I don't need to take you through all these different components and elements of it, but it's a combination of applying the ARCs that you have in your official plan today, combined with our ARCs to let you know specifically where golf is permitted. And probably most importantly, the OS-AAA is the open space area, and that will encompass the structures that are associated with the golf course, meaning the clubhouse and the hotel units that's centrally located in the site. The other categories, again, are consistent with the official plan and give specific permissions to the lands. In the southeast corner, you will see an A1-BBB. There is an archaeological find in this area, and we are protecting that. And just to the north of that is an EPA 2. There's a wetland that needs to be protected. So we've applied for specific zoning to reflect that. I won't go through all this. I show this slide to say these are the reports that we have carried out on these lands. I began working on this in 2003, roughly. There's been a lot of consultation, there's been a lot of discussions in various components of planning applications, and even tonight, you know, we're hearing things from the community. We're offering up our business cards to take these issues and respond to them as the comments come forward. Some of these reports are as a result of comments that have been received on the circulation of our application, and we've been refiling and trying to answer as much as we can. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that you might have, and I'll leave it off with the routing plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brohl. If there are any comments from the members of the public that are here tonight, and if there are, please step forward to the podium, clearly state your name and address as it's for a public record.
Tim Forster, 15858 Kennedy Road. I just live north of the property.
Callan.
Good evening, Madam. I'm so used to the Madam Mayor. I've been at this so often, Mayor Thompson and Council. My name, again, is Tim Forster, and I guess historically I have been one of the people who have not supported the golf course. We went through initially saying that it was on prime agricultural land. We lost that battle. We accept that. Now we're concerned, I guess, about the zoning issue. When OPA 234 was done, there was no zoning application with it. Don't know why, but there was not. And I guess there was concerns with regards to the EPA lands that I have shown on the map in front of you, in terms of how they would affect the zoning. Now, with regards to zoning, that map hasn't been presented anywhere in the presentation given tonight. The second thing is that this week, or not within 2 weeks, we've had a zoning decision that has been made. Now, the town of Caledon does have an official zoning for the Oak Ridges Moraine, so that came and was approved on January 4th, and the date of notice was June 4th and June 10th. And I guess it's I'll just read it. The zoning bylaw number 2008-50 has the effect of bringing the town of Caledon zoning bylaw into conformity with the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan. The zoning bylaw does the following, and it goes on to talk about how it basically introduces schedules that recognizes the Oak Ridges Moraine, its boundaries, and the permitted uses in those lands. And I guess the thing that sort of I read here is this, it reads, the decision of the Minister of the Municipal Affairs and Housing is final and there is no opportunity to appeal. So this particular map that I am showing is the map that is part of 2008-50 for that particular area. I know it's we're novices in this, but we did do an overlay. It's not 100% exact, but it certainly is pretty close to being exact. It shows two areas. First of all, there's an EPA 2 ORM as well as an A1 ORM. Neither of those particular designations do permit a golf course, or any intensive recreational use. So we don't. I actually went through the process of calling the senior planner at the ministry. His name's Lou Bitonti. I spoke to him yesterday. And he indicated that the decision is final and that the town of Caledon is legally required to conform to the Oak Ridges Moraine zoning. So I'm confused in terms of we finally brought our zoning into conformity, and we are now in a position of basically looking at taking it out of conformity in terms of the plan. There were, in terms of the decision, there were ways ways in which the proponent for the application may have, from what I understand, gotten around this, and that was when, if they had, when they did the OPA, actually submitted the zoning at the same time. Because it does read here that within the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan area that are subject to a site-specific amendment to bylaw 87250 passed by the council after June 10th, 2008. So all other bylaws would have been repealed, but if they had done that prior to this particular time, then that certainly... My standing up here and saying, well, they shouldn't be touching this because they don't have you don't have the ability to actually affect the zoning for this particular use. The only question I really have, if I were to have it, and that would be to the Caniff people, is why did they not do the zoning at the time in which they did the application for the official plan amendment?
Okay. Glenn, Mr. Broll, you can take the microphone right there. Just push the little. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I mean, we have applied for the rezoning. The official plan amendment and rezoning application came in hand. This was a matter that was filed as a complete application. It was circulated. It was in process. In fact, we gave zoning bylaws to the town in support of our application for both the existing bylaw and if the Oak Ridges Marine bylaw came into effect. So the fact that we had divided our application, which we proceeded with the official plan amendment component first, because quite frankly, we wanted to have some decisions made on whether the town was supportive of a golf course on these lands or not. The implementing zoning bylaw has always been a live, active matter. It's something that we have had to enter into special agreements with the Conservation Authority that required additional work to be carried out on our part. We knew, like, that the bylaw that Mr. Forrester quotes was 2008-50. That means this council approved that in 2008. Our application has been ongoing, and more recently, probably the 2010 application is the one that we're proceeding with right now. We knew that bylaw was in effect, which is why when we applied for the rezoning, we said, well, we know you've adopted one, but it's not yet in force, so we were covering both sides of it. The fact that the Oak Ridges Marine bylaw has now come into effect literally this month, we will look at and work with town on how to implement the right sections of the bylaw.
Just a comment on that. Having been through that process, I do recall that Councillor Mezzapelli, who was sitting on council in the last session, one of the reasons why he did not vote in favor of the application or the applicant was because the zoning was not a part of the official plan amendment. So that zoning, unless it has an OPA zoning bylaw, then it doesn't exist as far as I read this particular decision that's been made.
Duly noted. Does staff want to comment on that, or Mr. Ward?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have an answer per se to that specific question as to why the zoning bylaw amendment was deferred and the official plan amendment proceeded. I believe the applicant has given a pretty elaborate answer to that. Mr. Forrester raised a number of other questions with regard to this, the ORM bylaw. Just to go back a little bit and look at how this came about, I think everybody's aware that the town initiated this zoning bylaw amendment exercise to implement the Oak Ridges Marine Plan that was directed for in the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Act. In that act, it directed, of course, that the minister is the approval authority. So from the time that council adopted the 2008-50 to just recently when the minister approved that bylaw, it was obviously not in full force and effect. So the bylaw before it, its predecessor, that being 87-250, was the bylaw in force and effect, and that was being continuing to be applied and administered day to day. That being said, the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Act also states outright that the minister's decision is final, that being there's no opportunity to appeal the minister's decision with respect to the adoption or approval of 2008-50. That doesn't preclude the town from still continuing to administer its zoning bylaw, that being the bylaw that has been amended through 2008-50, and processing applications to amend it under the Planning Act.
All right. Anybody else from the public?
Yes.
Good evening, Your Honor and councillors. I'm Marlene McClure. I live at 4073 Old Baseline Road, which is just to the east of this property. And my two questions are, what is being done to protect the groundwater of the area? We already have very sandy soil and issues with dry wells. All the individual many of the individual one-acre lots, as well as we have a farming operation where we need water for cattle. So it's very critical to our survival. So what is being done to protect that in the community around that area so we do not run out of water, number one? And number two, I'm actually not really familiar with the rules for golf courses and the regulations with regard to herbicides. But certainly the agricultural community is having to steer away from neonicotinoids. What is being used on golf courses that may have some kind of effect on agricultural crops? Has this been looked into? And I guess the third question is, what is the possibility of KANF working with the agricultural community in the area to ensure that there are not any issues so that we work together in a partnership?
Yep.
Has anything been looked into in that respect?
Okay. Very good questions.
And fourth, I just want it on record about this water issue. That is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It's huge to the community around us.
Yeah. Okay. It is everywhere. Trust me. Mr. Broll.
I'll answer this from here. Water is absolutely an issue, and we knew that coming into to this application. Having worked on other golf courses in the area, we know that we're not proceeding with anything until we have had a proper study of groundwater. So our engineers obtained a permit, pumped for 72 hours, measured the wells in the area at pre-pumped levels 72 hours later, what the next levels were, and then how quickly they recovered. So we have that data, which I'm happy to share, but I also can report that we're not ready to go on the golf course. We still need to get the proper permits, and we still need to go out and be able to put proper monitors and wells, get well records, and continue that process, and we're happy to work with the community on that. On herbicides, pesticides, absolutely a current issue. We call it a turf management plan. So part of what I referenced to other agreements that we have to have executed with the Conservation Authority, we work with them to create the turf management plan and look at the right pesticides, not only what to use, but how much to use. And the effort is to control the usage and make sure, quite frankly, that you don't put too much on, have it rain, and then it runs off and goes into the streams. So we have to continue to develop that, but we're happy to share what we have and equally happy to work with the community. We're working together, and I can make a commitment on behalf of KANF that if there's an opportunity to sit with the local community and talk about what we're using on the land versus what they're using on the land, by all means, let's do it.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Denise Steves. I live on Old Baseline also. Question is there any other region outside of Caledon that allow golf courses on any other Oak Ridge's marine property? Does anybody know that?
I know they exist, but I can't answer that question. Mr. Brolg, do you know if there's other examples?
Off the top of my head, no. I don't know of any examples. I can also advise, though, that what we had to do in our planning analysis is look at the policies within the Oak Ridges Marine Plan and the Greenbelt Plan and look at their protection policies and then what we would be permitted to do from a recreational point of view. And not only did those plans allow for golf course to happen, but it also put some pretty stringent requirements on us that if you are doing a golf course here, here's what you need to do.
Yeah, I know. I've been reading in the newspaper a lot of developers are putting a lot of pressure on the Oak Ridges Marines where it exists out, you know, Richmond Hill, those areas, and because they want to, whatever little space there is, they want to build homes on it or do something like that. And I'm really concerned that we're going to set a precedent here if we don't look at this really, really carefully. You know, the water thing set aside, I mean, it's precious to everyone. For us to build a 100-room, for you to build a 100-room hotel, it just boggles the mind. You know, that's a lot of flushes. That's a lot of showers. I just don't understand it. You know, have you gone out and asked people, is that what they want here? Do we need a 100-room hotel really in the middle of nowhere? And then is that going to set a precedent for someone like we have banquet halls currently, like on Innis Lake, are they going to want to build hotels also? And, you know, because if I have a banquet facility, maybe I want people to stay overnight too. And that's where I see this going. I don't think it has anything to do with golfing. I think it just has to do with, you know, maybe there's going to be, now that's a new wedding place or whatever. I mean, you know, I guess the question is, you know, have you asked people, or is this place going to be full? You know, I mean, is this what people want? A 100-room hotel, pretty well in the middle of nowhere.
I suppose I couldn't say that we've gone around and asked people. Our client has looked at, and he owns and operates golf courses, and sees that there's a need for an ability to have a tourist-based accommodation, which means the event, having a golf course and being able to run tournaments and have business functions and meetings with opportunities for people to enjoy some time on the property and stay in a hotel,
right,
is something that he believes it's an ideal way of bringing people here and creating some tourism in this area.
Okay. Well, it's still... Okay. And the last thing, too, is an entrance off of Old Baseline. That's just craziness. That entrance should be off of Kennedy Road. That's a dirt road. People will drive like 5 miles an hour because it's dirt, because all the traffic is going to come probably from the south anyway, up Highway 10 from the 401 or whatever. And Old Baseline is, you know, that's 80 kilometers. So I don't know. People are just going to be braking to, you know, turn left to go in there. And that's just a safety thing. Instead of, and then what are we going to do, look at widening the road or making a left turn lane? And again, that's just, you know, creating more concrete as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, that's it. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, please come forward.
Pete Livingston, 15667 here, Ontario Street. It's the little blip on here, Ontario Street, going into the rural area of, or the area marked rural on the map. Concern that I have is with respect to the taking of water to run this operation, and in discussions with a consultant, they've indicated that the two ponds, which are currently within the environmental protection, or most are within the EPA2 area of the Oak Ridges, will be the main storage area for the water to be used by the facility. I don't know about potable water, but I assume that includes potable water that would be later treated. The source of water for those two ponds will be, I believe it's well number one, is that correct? Which you indicated you tested a couple of years ago. Well one is located within the NEP, the Niagara Escarpment. So a question would be whether or not the Niagara Escarpment has agreed to allow the taking of water from this well. And since if they will not, and since all the tests done supposedly on the local wells regarding that when the pumping test was done on well one, and supposedly the local wells were monitored and they found no impact, and this well will not be allowed as provision made to drill another well, and again what we go through the same process of supposedly monitoring wells. Having said that, my well was never monitored during the pumping test. In fact, I was at the cottage. My well is locked, so no one could actually access it. So obviously, I don't know whether there was any impact on drawdown level for my well. I wasn't even around when they did the test, the 90-hour or the 70-hour test. And I'm, I don't know, 250 meters or so from the well. I do know that when the Region of Peel put in their pumping station close to the Ken Willens area, the footbridge, my well was monitored as for impact. So I know all about, a hydrologist visited our home regular and actually put a probe down in the well, and he monitored the variation in levels throughout the whole pumping test. This was never done. So I'm a little concerned right now that we're proceeding ahead on the basis of supposedly a lot of work been done. And I see, you know, there's agreements to be made with the NEP. If water's going to be taken from that well, there's clearly monitoring has to be done at the local wells. And I don't know if anybody else has had the same experience that I have, but if my well wasn't monitored, and the indication in this meeting today was that all wells were monitored during that test, then Maybe mine isn't within the impact area, I don't know, but I adjoin the property, right? So I do have some concerns. Perhaps you can address some of these now. And
Mr. Brohl?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Livingston has been an active part of this process for some time, and we've tried to do our best to answer the questions that he's had, and we've had, you know, certain matters that have been raised, we've had specific answers to him. You know, our guys have to go out and get permission to monitor wells. And if you're not home and your well's locked, not every well gets monitored. And I hope I didn't leave you with the illusion that we had monitors in every well. There's an extrapolation. There are well records that we get from the province that allow us to understand the depth of well, locations of wells. We do have to do additional work. I have no problem with ensuring that Mr. Livingston is contacted before we do the work and we get permission and he unlocks his well and we'll put monitors in it. There is absolutely no upside in us drawing water down and taking out the wells of the neighbors. I mean, that is just something that we don't want to do. So our role here and our goal here has been trying to embrace the community and have an understanding of the existing well situation, but also, again, I refer back to the Conservation Authority, they're putting contingency plans into us to say, well, what happens if you do? You can't just have an engineer say, don't worry, it won't be a problem. If there is a drawdown, what's your contingency plan? And they start to handcuff us on the contingency plans about how much water we can store on the property, how we irrigate, how much of the fairways we irrigate, how much of the greens that we irrigate. This is the level of detail that the Conservation Authority is asking of us to try and protect people like Mr. Livingston and the other residents behind us. So we're prepared to engage in that process.
Mr. Livingston? Mr. Livingston, you got to come to the mic so we have it on record. I'm sorry.
I don't want to cut you off. Were you going to address any of the other issues before I come?
Sure. A couple other things that I had noted on here. The ponds are, in fact, used for storage. We spoke about that outside. That's not the potable water supply. I mean, there'll be additional wells that are drilled for the potable supply. The well that you referred to in the Niagara Escarpment area that you pointed out, that was where the monitoring well was located. Again, we haven't gone to the permanent well, we haven't gone to the Niagara Escarpment Commission, we haven't gone to the Ministry of the Environment, so we'll be still subject to their regulations.
Okay, so you're saying that the wells that you actually monitored were your own drilled wells surrounding the property as opposed to any residential wells. And that's my understanding of what you're saying. And if that's not correct, could you tell me which residential wells you did monitor? Because I'm not aware of any.
I'm happy to share the full report with Mr. Livingston. I don't have the data right in front of me now. It's behind me. But again, I'm happy to share the entire report with you.
Okay.
Well, I just hope that council takes this into account, that there's a lot of work to be done here. Yes, I do know in reading the reports, and they're extensive, the hydrology report, that there were monitoring wells drilled throughout the property. And those were monitored during the pump down, but I'm not aware of any residential wells that were monitored during that 70 hour or whatever it was.
Okay. Well, it's on public record, Mr. Livingston, yeah. So we'll make sure of it. Thank you. Any other questions from the public?
Yeah, my name is Irvin Harvey. I'm at 3383 Old Baseline. Obviously, I have a big concern over the water too, because I'm on a well. So, and I don't know what responsibility they will have if something did happen. But one of my big concerns is the map outside shows the entrance on Old Baseline between Kennedy Road, which to me I thought was a huge safety issue. Because there's not enough distance, because that is also the brow of a hill right there. You cannot see that entrance. If you're coming eastbound, you cannot see the entrance to that, which they have on the map right now. Impossible. And like the lady said before, it's an 80 kilometer zone or something. So to me, it's a huge safety issue to have a driveway with many vehicles coming out. So I don't know.
Mr. Brohl.
Sure, thank you. The interestingly, we had the access on Kennedy Road initially, and when we came out to a community meeting, the question was, why on earth would you put the access road up there? So we actually worked hard with the Region of Peel and looking at Old Baseline Road on where a safe point of access could be, and you're right, it is on the high ground, and we did a sightline safety analysis with a traffic consultant that we shared with the Region of Peel and town staff, and it was deemed that the driveway in the location that it is proposed on Old Baseline is, it's meeting safety criteria, and it is a logical location for the access.
I don't know the safety regulations, I just know that I live there, and I walk across to my mailbox, and you better be looking, because So to me, when people make left-hand turns, and who knows how many cars are going to be coming in and out there. You know, I was told at one time at a meeting, hundreds of them, right? So
we actually did a traffic study that, you know, we're looking at the amount of traffic from which direction are coming in and out of the property. And
I don't know who's responsible to pass the entrance. Like, who has that responsibility to say that that's an okay spot for entrance?
The region of Peel and the town are both looking at that. And that's, you know, these were some of the comments that came up initially to say, again, why do you have the access on Kennedy Road? Why don't you look for it? In fact, at one time, our client said, why don't we have an access out onto Huron, Ontario? And that didn't go well with the province. So we have, you know, three frontages, and this was deemed as a frontage that had a higher order road, if you will, so there is more traffic on it, but it was the more logical location for this type of use, and then we had to design it to make sure that it was safe.
Well, it's a main access from Airport Road to Highway 10. Mm-hmm. It's highly used, and it's a very busy road. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just concerned about that. Also my water, but okay. That issue's been brought up.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilors. Randy McLeod, 15717 Airport Road. As President of the Peel Federation of Agriculture, I was involved in some discussions regarding MDS calculations. And directly to the east, we have a livestock operation where there are buildings that were deemed suitable to house livestock. So MDS, there was quite a discussion as to how we're going to apply these MDS calculations. In discussions with one of our Peel Federation members today, who's attempting to build a livestock facility, he told me that the MDS calculations that he must keep his livestock facility back from are measured from his neighbor's property line. So if we apply this, the property directly to the east has buildings that are beyond their best before date. The next property owner that buys that property, being in the Oak Ridges Moraine and Greenbelt, its likely only purpose is going to be of some nature of agriculture. If that owner decides that I purchased his property, I would like to build a small horse barn. He's going to be caught by MDS regulations that's going to require that he keep that building X feet back from the property line. As we learned in our discussions with the GTA West team, what we have here is an injurious effect. And that same situation is going to play out with all the abutting, adjoining agricultural owners. Not only does this question is raised in this case, but it is raised in every other case where you have conflicting land uses and agriculture. The recent case would have been the commercial wedding facility in a barn. So by doing this, council has rezoned the 10 acres commercial. So now any and all agricultural operations now must stay back from them. So I think council needs to come to some kind of a position. What is the future for agriculture here in Kelden? Because if you're going to keep approving these applications that are going to have injurious effect on agriculture, what's the future for us? In the discussions I had with this young man today, the cost of building this livestock facility, which is just to replace the existing operation they have today, it's going to have to be essentially the geographic center of their land holdings. He is now faced with the conundrum, do I spend the money to build this facility here on this land, or do I take an equal amount of money and go elsewhere in this province to buy an existing operation? So it's up to council to come up with a fair and equitable position that's going to be treated, that everyone in this town of Caledon is going to be somewhat treated fairly by. And that's the challenge that this council has before them. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. Anybody else?
Ian Sinclair, 16795 McLaughlin Road. I guess the map up there, I guess, is the proposed zoning. Is that it? It's not the current zoning.
Mr. Brill?
It's actually Official Plan Amendment 234. It's the document that was approved to redesignate the lands to open space and rural, so it's not the zoning bylaw.
Okay. Is it possible to have staff put up what the current zoning is? I would have expected that as part of the package.
They're working on it here.
And in addition to that, on this property, where is the boundary of the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan?
Okay, so we got all that here for you.
Okay.
So that line, Mr. Hughes, is that the Oak Ridges Moraine line?
That is correct. The Oak Ridges Moraine line is this line right here. The NEC is in the hatch line to the north. This area here is covered under zoning bylaw 2006-50. This area is covered under zoning bylaw 2008-50. So this is an extract or the zoning map that was approved as part of the 2008-50 situation.
Okay, then the proponents are saying that the zoning in the Oak Ridges Moraine Plan area, it was not in effect when they applied, so they want to amend 87-250. Is that correct?
Their original application was to amend 87-250. That is correct. However, that would need to change possibly in moving forward now that 87-250 no longer exists and has been replaced by 2008-50 with the recent ministerial decision.
Okay, pardon me if I'm confused. What is in effect? It was my understanding when a town or municipal planning board, in this case, the council of the town of Caledon, passed 2008-50 for the Oak Ridges Moraine zoning, that was the zoning they used throughout the, for commenting and implementing throughout the Oak Ridges Moraine plan area in Caledon. Is that correct?
I believe what the town did was comment on both documents, both 87-250 and 2008-50, as part of the review of development applications that were in the ORM area, that staff would comment on both situations.
So what's legal? This one? Is that the legal one that this application is being considered under?
So as we speak today, this is a zoning that is in effect. Force and effect on the lands.
All right, so the applicant has to work with that zoning to meet those requirements for their proposal?
I may allow the applicant to respond to that question.
Sure, I'm happy to, thank you. The planning justification report that we filed with the initial application provided two different zoning bylaws. So we knew that you had a bylaw in effect and you had a bylaw pending. So we said, here's our application. Legally, we have to revise the one that is in effect today. And just in case the province approves the Oak Ridges Marine bylaw, here's the bylaw that we're asking you to approve if that happens. So Mr. Sinclair's question today, because as of this month, the Oak Ridges Marine bylaw is in effect, then the bylaw that Mr. Hughes has put up is what we're amending as it relates to those lands within the Niagara Escarpment plan area, Oak Ridges Marine area.
Okay. What I don't understand is then the status of the policies in the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan still must be in full effect for those areas inside the boundary of the Oak Ridges Marine Plan. As I understand it, for major recreation, there's some pretty dramatic requirements for water budgets and fertilizer and pesticide usage for major recreation and sewage carrying capacity requirements and studies. And once again on this, the source of water on this property is simply not indicated. Originally it was up in the Niagara Escarpment plan area. I don't know where it is now. So we need to find out if the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan policies pertain to that section of the property. Do they?
Mr. Roll?
Short answer, yes. What the province approved was your zoning bylaw. That has nothing to do with the Oak Ridges Marine plan. That plan was in existence when we started this application. That plan was part of the foundation of how we justified this application. So all of those policies that Mr. Sinclair is referring to is something that we've been working through with our team to understand if you're putting a golf course in the Oak Ridges Marine, if you're putting a golf course in the Greenbelt plan, here are the policies that apply, and those are the policies that the agencies reviewed in order to move forward with what council has now approved as an official plan amendment. So the document now that's within your official plan has these lands designated open space and rural to permit a golf course on these lands.
I understand that, but I don't think town council had the power to set aside the Oak Ridges Marine policies within the plan area. So I think there's a problem to be sorted out here very carefully. I've seen reference to a long list of technical studies for this proposal. You know, it's an over 12 years plus process now. So it would be interesting to know if those technical studies are still current. You know, some of them could have been around for quite a while. In addition, they may have had assumptions in them to support some of the many different site plans we've seen over the years on this. And there's been quite a few site plans. So I would suggest that a review by staff of the adequacy of those studies be made. I remember at a public open house, I don't know if it was this one that was held out in the foyer at some time in the past, or another one in the Inglewood Community Center, there was some general information about drainage. And I recall that there was major drain pipes collecting tile drainage into main pipes and running them off into properties to the north. And as I understand it, was once run on an integrated farm by a Clarkson family, and these lands that have been sold to Caniff were one brother's lands, and there's another brother somewhere else. So this is important to know where these drains are. once you start putting in stormwater management ponds or irrigation ponds in large institutional sewage treatment systems, you want to know that you're not building it on top of one of these drains that's then going to carry waters off the property. So we need to have some kind of assurance for adjacent property owners that these drains have been identified and plugged up. I noticed technical comments from Region Appeal did not include any matters about the roads or traffic in this review here. There may well be somewhere, but there's certainly no indication that the regions commented on that aspect. I think the rules for water taking in the capacity, large capacities that would be required to support the operations of a full golf course irrigation system plus a hotel clubhouse and washing facilities for golf carts and so on will be a Ministry of Environmental Approval. However, I still think the municipality has to have some assurance that there is water on site and a water budget that can be met. And there's been some OMB hearings up in Gray County on commercial water bottling plants, and the OMB has firmly established that water taking is a land use and therefore part of the Town of Caledon's decision making. So I would ask that that be addressed also. I guess I will express some discouragement about the previous town council's approval of the official plan amendment approving the golf course in principle. As the council set aside direct advice from the professional planning departments on the MDS issue, simply said, we're not applying them. And that's a problem for us because we're now left as members of the public wondering what town council will actually do in approving anything. Will they follow the official plan? Will they follow the professional advice of the planners, or simply toss it to the wind? And that's very disturbing for the members of public, because if the things are approved poorly, then it's left up to individuals, members of the public, to somehow fundraise to go to the OMB or some environmental tribunal and raise a minimum of $50,000 of their own money to defend good planning in the town of Caledon. And this is a problem that's starting to happen in wards 2, 1, 4, throughout the town. So we need some integrity on behalf of town council as the planning board of just what they stand for and what they're going to do in this new council. Thank you.
Mr. Rall, did you want to clarify anything on the studies or anything like that?
You know, there were lots of comments made about drainage and regional comments, and all I can say is we've supplied the technical reports to staff. They are being reviewed in accordance with many of the items that Mr. Sinclair is looking at. So, you know, I've written down his comments. I'm sure town staff have in their evaluation of our report. I'm comfortable that we've supplied the answers.
Okay. Any further questions? Any further questions? There's no further questions at this moment. I will now ask members of council. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. I've just been making some notes as I go along here, and I'm not sure if our staff can answer this question because it's a regional question, but I'll ask anyways. During the region's assessment of the driveway placement or the opening, was there consideration or opportunity for, you know, turning lanes and things like that within the right of way?
Mr. Ward?
Through you, Madam Mayor, that has been considered and is still being reviewed by the region.
Okay, what's my next question? My other question is in regards to the water source. As you mentioned, I think Mr. Livingston mentioned the pumping station on Highway 10. So we do have city water coming up to the corner of Old Base and Highway 10. Is there potential for that water source to be utilized?
Anybody?
Oh.
Mr. Orr.
Oh.
using the municipal treated water supply for irrigation?
No, sorry, for your
for potable,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. I'll ask our engineers whether that's an option to be able to bring a pipe in and service that.
That's it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. This is a question for staff. Has past council ever approved, actually I should say, has past council ever been presented or approved zoning for this property?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, the applicant had a site plan amendment and he had a zoning application. The only thing that I know that came to council was a zoning application. Council was never given anything on, did I say that right? They were never given anything on zoning, is what I'm asking you. So, was it ever presented to council, zoning? And was it ever approved by zoning?
So just
By council, sorry.
Are we asking in general other applications?
No, I'm asking specifically this one just because of one of the requirements under the Oak Ridges Moraine. It's, so I just want people to understand, I know it, but I just want people to understand that zoning was never brought forth to council.
That's correct. The zoning bylaw amendment application was not brought to council
for a decision.
For a decision.
Mr. Hughes?
Yeah, perhaps just to add to that. So as Mr. Brolin had noted before, a rezoning application, a zoning bylaw amendment application was filed with the municipality. What council did not do is approve an implementing zoning bylaw document for these lands. They did an OP official plan amendment document, but not a zoning bylaw amendment document. The original application, however, there was a zoning bylaw amendment application filed concurrent with the official plan.
But it was never considered at council.
Council, so when the public meeting originally took place, it was heard at that public meeting, the staff report that was brought forward was for the official plan amendment and the zoning bylaw document. Council did not bring forward an implementing zoning document.
Okay, so that just leads me to another question, okay? because I find it unusual, I'm going to say, why did the town of Caledon allow CANA, even though they had both applications before them to be approved concurrently, why did the town of Caledon allow the applicant to only continue on with the amendment and not say, no, sorry, you've got to follow through on the zoning, for exactly the purpose that Mr. Forster said that in the last council, where Rob Mezzapelli, Councillor Mezzapelli, said, you know, we should, he's never seen an application come forward where the zoning wasn't attached to it. So that was a first time for him as a councillor. So I guess I'm looking for, and I know you can't tell me now, but I'm looking to find out why the town of Caledon broke ranks on that and allowed that to happen. So you can get back to me on it. I just wanted that one on the record, and I want to just find out. Fair enough, guys? Fair enough? Okay.
Done? Councillor Bedford?
Yeah, thank you very much. A couple of mine overlap. I do want to make comment regarding the traffic. Several people have commented, and my question as well to Mr. Brohl was, do any of the reports suggest turns or tapers in relation to the knoll or the hill that's there that people are quite concerned about? And perhaps that could be shared with the folks who have done the assessments. That seems to be an item of concern. With regard to the water, a couple of items. First of all, I want to make it clear, and I think, Mr. Brohl, you have offered that if there are any residents that would like you to contact them and be involved with a monitoring system so there's a baseline of understanding of their well versus your wells, you are open to that and we'll do that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I'd like to come back to the item with regard to the potable water. I just want to clarify, first of all, and Mr. Mayor, maybe you know, or maybe one of the members, Pete, you might know. My understanding is that there is regional water at the corner of Old Baseline and Highway 10. In fact, I believe, Pete, that there are houses south of you that are serviced by that water. Is that correct?
Are you reading that part?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
You can't.
Okay, so it's Inglewood well water that's at that location. So that's what we're talking about, whether that's possible to bring over to, it's still well water, but it wouldn't be coming from the same source, and it might be an option that perhaps your hydrologist could look at. The issue of MDS has been a large issue in this conversation that we've had. And Glenn, I've talked to you about it several times because it was a serious concern, and we spent a lot of time with the planning staff reviewing the MDS ARCs. Can you comment as to what position your company has taken in terms of what's the plan is?
Sure, absolutely. The MDS calculation that we've undertaken, we've looked at the provincial requirements. We've hired a firm to undertake, I think, three different analyses now. In 2003, when we originally started this process, it was under a different MDS regime. I may get my date slightly wrong here, but somewhere around 2006, we did it again. Maybe it was even later, 2008, and then we redid it before where we thought we were going to an Ontario Municipal Board hearing. The MDS calculations, we believe, are correct. They take a look at the agricultural capability of the barns in the area. They apply the minimum distance separation formula. They also rely on a provision that says if there are four or more non-farm-related uses within the ARC, then the ARC doesn't apply. But you have to be further than the fourth property. And we've applied those findings to our design. In the official plan amendment that the town has right now, we have permission to build golf course right up to the property lines. We've not utilized that official plan policy. We are still applying the ARCs that we believe should be applied to this land. So in our implementing zoning bylaw, we show an arc that we cannot have golf course, we show an arc where we can have golf course, and then we show open space where other elements of the golf course, including the clubhouse and hotel, should be. So we're comfortable that using provincial MDS standards that we're applying proper sound planning principles in our zoning bylaw.
Now, at the time that we talked about MDS, Randy makes some really good points about the owners of the property, for example, across the road. If they choose to add to their complement of buildings, that they have to use the same MDS rules as anyone else. And I believe at the time that we actually did do some research into making sure that across the road, at least on the east side of Kennedy Road, that farm, I'm a little thrown by from the property line as opposed to the barn line, but that property owner could in fact build on that property for livestock or whatever. It would be complementary to both the golf club and to the farmer. Do you remember talking about that at the time?
I certainly remember the discussion that we've had, and my mind goes more to the west side because there was a large arc that was located there.
Right.
And we did the inverse calculation, which is the MDS-2 calculation, and we asked our consultant to just go do an analysis and tell us whether they're able to expand their facility, whether the golf course will hinder the expansion of that facility. And the answer, as my mind recalls, the answer was they could double the size of their facility and they would still be able to accommodate that even with the golf course in place. Now, I've had discussions this evening more related to the East lands, and I've undertaken that I will go back to our agricultural consultant and ask the question, because there's a livestock grazing facility, which doesn't apply MDS, it's applied to the barn. The barn currently is vacant, and it's not of a sufficient capacity that we need to apply an MDS under today's regime. But the question was asked of me, what if we wanted to build a new barn? And could we do that if the golf course is built? And I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask our guys to look at it as if that was our client. And our client said, I'm purchasing this parcel of land and I'd like to build a barn. Can I do it? And let's assume the golf course is there. And do we have a negative impact on them? And I'll do that analysis. But, you know, we're trying to apply MDS, and we're trying to look at it as the MDS 2 calculation too, to make sure that this golf course doesn't hinder any farming expansion.
Okay, thank you. And my last point is with regard to the discussion that's taken place regarding the ORM rules. I would hope that staff, when they bring the report back, would clarify the questions that have been asked tonight about, are we, in fact, putting what we can on ORM property properly? And I really think that needs to be clarified as part of the report to help us make a decision. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Got a few questions. The first is procedurally, and I guess this is of our staff. And I know we broke out the official plan amendment and the zoning. And as was mentioned before, I had issue with that, and so I was not supportive of it. But that being said, now we're at the stage where the process ahead of us is a rezoning. All the outstanding issues, whether it's traffic, whether it's water or what have you, all of those boxes that have to be checked, is it required that all of those get satisfied prior to a final report, a rezoning application coming back to council for endorsement?
Mr. Ward.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Mezzapelli, there were a number of issues obviously identified through the review of the applications. They were chosen to be departed, the official plan proceed, the zoning bylaw be held in abeyance. What we will be doing is going through those issues to determine what issues need to be addressed prior to the zoning bylaw being brought for consideration, what issues, if any, are to be addressed through perhaps another tool, perhaps a development agreement, or is there another option in place that we have that to implement or address any of those issues. So we will have options as to when and how the issues will be addressed, and it will be our job in reporting back to you on the zoning bylaw to explain how those issues have been resolved or are being resolved.
And is that typical within how we process applications here, that some of them will have to be done as a requirement to prior to a rezoning and others will be dealt with in other ways? Is that typical or is it in any way precedent setting?
Mr. Ward.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not precedent setting. The town does have various options. Typically, under normal development approvals, you have, say, for instance, site plan approval, subdivision approval, zoning approval, and official plan approval. Obviously, I don't need to speak about the level of jurisdiction or level of detail that those documents each pertain to. As you narrow your scope down through the documents, you get more and more specific zoning and then down to your site-specific approvals.
Right, and I fully recognize that, you know, in applications there are issues that are minor in nature and just need to get worked out. I just want to make sure that there's nothing substantial that comes after the zoning, because, you know, we've gone through phase one, which is the official plan amendment, and then the next will be the rezoning. I just want to make sure that we get the substance of the data prior to making that, and that I'll leave it at that. And I guess to the delegate, with respect to water, which was the second concern I had. You mentioned that there were wells that were monitored as you did this drawdown procedure. Without, I know you got the information, you know, and it's not readily accessible, but were private wells monitored?
Mr. Brawl.
To my recollection, they were. I will check that, okay, because now I keep hearing the question and I'm thinking, my gosh, was it only ours? I will check that. I will also report back that our engineers, they were ecstatic with the amount of water that they found and how quickly it recovered. And they did monitor the region of Peel well, because that was something that the region said, this is significant for us in this area. You need to make sure that you're not affecting us. That goes on a little bit further. I will find out exactly what wells, okay, what wells were monitored, and I apologize, I don't have the answer tonight.
And I'm certainly no hydrogeological expert. Is there seasonal changes, fluctuations in recharge when you draw water? And I'm hypothesizing in the summer, maybe it's a slower recharge. And if so, would you do those draw tests at the part of the season that has the most negative impact as far as recharge?
Should have brought my engineer.
Yeah, sorry.
The aquifers are quite far down. I don't think the recharge rates are as significant as if we were taking surface water. Mm-hmm. And certainly when we're dealing with golf courses, and I said in my presentation, we either look at surface water or groundwater or a combination of the two. And when we started out this process, we were relying on a balance and we had surface water. And absolutely, then you need to look at when you're drawing, and there would be contingency plans in there that would say, hey, the surface fluctuates a lot, the aquifer much less so, but I will confirm that with my engineer too and make sure that the proper reporting gets back.
Okay, thank you. And the last issue, I guess, on water is has there been, and maybe it's too preliminary at this point, but has there been consideration for the development itself, particularly the hotel component? I understand the ponds will do the irrigation component. To do low impact from a water perspective, like low flow toilets, I know they can even do gray water where you can, instead of just discharging it, utilize it for a lesser purpose than potable water. It may be too early at this point, but I'm just wondering, as water is an issue, whether those types of things were considered?
Yeah, the functional servicing report started to touch on it a little bit, because certainly we had to look at the potable water supply and the wastewater that would be generated from the hotel units themselves. But we didn't go as far in because we're just, you know, we're at the, my gosh, are we going to get the land use approved stage? We haven't gone to the low flow toilet design, and but I fully expect that to happen as we move into certainly the site plan approval process. Perhaps even some in the development agreement, there may be mention of those kind of words, but the design of that will be off in the future.
Yeah, okay. And I appreciate your openness to consider that. The graphic that I have in front of myself, which is basically a layout of the golf course with the boundary of the property itself, and north of it, it says additional lands owned by applicant, which I understand, or I think I understand, is outside the official plan amendment lands. So the full force of the Oak Ridges Moraine plan would apply. Is there any understanding of what the intent of those lands are? Future?
Mr. Brawl.
Thank you. Wow, that's a big question. So those lands, other lands owned by the applicant, is a parcel of land that's entirely within the Niagara Escarpment planning area.
Okay.
And I'll take 2 minutes and give you a brief explanation of what had happened. Initially, we filed the application to include those lands, and I went to the Niagara Escarpment Commission and asked for a development permit for 3 golf holes. So probably 60% of the parcel of land is in the escarpment protection area, treed. Our proposal was to dedicate those lands, the table lands, if you will, to allow for 3 golf holes to exist there. I asked the commission to make their approval contingent upon this council's approval of the zoning bylaw.
because really, what good is three golf holes? The Niagara Escarpment Commission denied that request, so we have since removed those lands from the application. So they do not form part of Official Plan Amendment 234. We felt it was important to show other lands owned by our owners, by our clients, but at this point there is no plan to do anything with those lands. They're currently being farmed, those that are available for farming, by Mr. Clarkson, and the expectation is that they would just continue on that way.
Okay, thank you. And I guess a question of our staff is procedural. If, for whatever reason, the zoning application does not pass, what happens to the official plan amendment?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the official plan amendment remains. That's an approved document. It's in full force and effect. The zoning bylaw, whatever decisions made, the typical appeal options would still apply to that application.
Okay. That's it for myself. Thank you.
Okay.
Mayor Thompson.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. This is to staff. Did the Town of Caledon peer review the MDS?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, we did have, Mr. Mayor, sorry. We did have that document peer reviewed, that's correct.
And what were the basic findings of the peer review?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Not Mrs.
The findings of that document were generally confirming or refining some of the, let's say, input values that were used by the applicant's MDS report, that being livestock observed on the property.
Did the ARCs get bigger?
The ARCs were expanded, and they are reflected in the approved official plan amendment schedule. Those ARCs are the product of what our peer review consultant determined based on their review of the applicant's MDS right. submission.
Can you tell me whether the MDS that went with the original amendment is in compliance with OMAFRA's MDS guidelines, or are they different than OMAFRA's guidelines?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have some comments from the peer reviewer to that effect. There has been some discussion, as Mr. Brohl mentioned, with respect to the applicability of MDS for one of the operations. As Mr. Brohl noted, one of the guidelines states that when there are four or more, let's call them sensitive uses in proximity or closer to the subject livestock facility than the proposed site, then MDS does not apply. There was, as I'm aware from my review of the file, there was a lot of discussion as to the applicability of that guideline with respect to one of the livestock facilities. To be quite honest, I don't have a straight answer for that question. There was a lot
That's
of discussion.
Okay. I know
on
it's
that.
It's a big one. I'm going to just go over to the water now because I agree water is a big issue. And there was some understanding about where this water comes from, the Inglewood Well. The Inglewood Well, one of Inglewood's wells went down, and they're working on one well, which is under wellhead protection on Highway 10. I just want council members to know that a possible new well was found almost adjacent to that well. So now we don't have one well feeding the area. We actually have two wells that are quite close to one another. My concern is that when we have two wells feeding a major community of Inglewood, I'm extremely concerned that any water taking from the Caniff property will now have double the influence on Inglewood because it's now two wells, not one well. So I just want staff to think about that and talk to the region is what I really want them to do.
Mr.
Okay?
Brohl, I think you've caught that in your studies, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been in the process. The wells come on, but it's the second well was there. I know, but it's been underway for quite some time. Yeah, any more? Nope, all done? Okay. Councilor McClure.
I'm not as long-winded as the rest of them, but I think it's... This would be great for tourism, but I want to, before
I'm... an opinion. Ask a question.
The questions. There's two things I want right. You know what? I've got experience making broiler barns, and I have to be 600 feet from a town road or a neighbor's property. And looking at that darn thing, I think it's less than 600 feet from a neighbor's property. If that applies to a chicken farm, it should apply to you. That's my thought, and I think we should get right on that. I don't know why they stick us to that.
Okay.
And that was 10 years ago. Maybe you got it farther back now. And another thing, I think if you're going to have a 100-room motel, I think you should be on town water. I think... Somehow that should be a requirement before you make the building. But I do think this whole idea is good, but everything has to be right before I approve it. That's all.
Mr. Brohl, how many feet are you from the property line with your proposed hotel? Is that a problem? You didn't realize you're going to get put to work tonight, did you?
No, I didn't. Nor did I come with my scale. So I'd be making up a number, so yeah. I will check it.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
All right. There's no further questions from council. Is there any? So one from the public? Make it quick. I know you can get long-winded, too. You have to identify yourself again, please.
Randy McLeod, 15717 Airport Road. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Mr. Brohl?
Yes.
Mr. Brohl, when he made his comments that the operation to the west could double in size. Just looking at the size of those buildings off the cuff, you couldn't build those buildings where they are today because of the size and the square footage. They would have to be essentially in the geographic center of that piece of property. If those buildings were to be deemed unusable or he had a fire and he had to replace them, he would have to concur with today's MDS. No. He wouldn't.
No. No, not if a fire. No.
Okay. If he were to add a little bit, he would then have to comply with the current regulations.
On an existing structure, I think you're still allowed.
We have an operation here.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have an operation where a young fellow wants to build a dairy barn, and it's going to be the same size, just a new facility. Cannot build it anywhere close to the existing operation.
Yeah.
So if this operation here wants to rebuild, they have to comply with today's standards, and it's going to be much closer to the center of the operation. So Mr. Brohl's argument that this operation can double in size and still meet the MDS calculations falls off the table.
Mr. Brohl.
So I'm happy to, I'm just a suit wearing guy, so I can bring my agricultural guys in to show, and I've asked that question, what impact do they have here? I know that farm is restricted by residential properties to the west. So there was an ability for them to double in size. Now maybe it's more into the center of their property, but the nutrient units that would be proposed with a doubling of the size still stayed within the arc and allowed the golf course to happen. So that's what I'm going on. I'm happy to share it and see if you agree with our analysis and, you know, where the other dairy farmers are. I don't know. I mean, I can talk to our guys.
Oh, for the record, it's not a dairy farm. It's a beef farm. But the same rules are going to apply to the equine operations that are in close proximity, too. They're on much smaller acreages. And if their operations are, for whatever reason, they want to rebuild, they're going to get caught by this, too. And here lies the crux of the problem. MDS regulations are so complex that it's very difficult for even those of us involved in agriculture to fully understand their intricate implications.
Yeah.
And that's why, as president of PFA, I'm here to hold this young man's feet to the fire and have him come up with the answers that's going to... Because at the end of the day, if we don't get all this stuff right, it gets ugly. And we don't want that.
Did you sign the sheet outside?
Not yet.
Better do it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Randy.
And counsel.
Mr. Sinclair.
Yes, sir. There's information here tonight. It's pretty skimpy. There's quite a lot of interest by members of the public on a number of different factors. I wondered if council and staff could center some plan to keep the public informed and so we know what's going on, get more information.
I think Mr. St. Clair and I think Mr. Broll, I think we heard loud and clear we'll do that. Thank you. No further questions? Oh, Mr. Livingston.
Yeah, just a clarification. I'm on record.
Yeah, you'll have to come forward again.
So I'm on record.
Peter,
from
you have to see your name again on record.
Pete Livingston, 15667. The little blip in the corner on here, Ontario Street, there's a barn shown in that in which MDS was not applied. And just prior to the passing of OPA 234, I suggested to council, like that barn blew down in the hurricane, and I went through the process of asking planning what it would take to rebuild it. Would I have to get a permit? Well, they said, well, you have to prove that it was actually blown down in the hurricane. But the general answer I got that MDS-2, and this is regardless of what the consultant had indicated, they said, hey, we'll let you rebuild the barn. But as far as planning's concerned, MDS-2 would apply to my rebuilding of that barn. But it was a subject discussed just prior to the passing of OPA 234.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Any further questions? Okay, since there's no further questions, I'll deem this meeting is over at 8:38. Does that sound okay? Perfect. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Really appreciate your time, and thank you, Mr. Broll.